Okay, well, I'm envisioning two different test fixtures here. You're telling me about one. I'm envisioning another. I'm envisioning one where you've got all kinds of steel and concrete around this thing, and it's got a big electric motor, and you're going to spin it up just like you would on a Carter copter, except you're going to spin it to destruction. You're telling me now what you're going to do is you're going to put it on a special pull rig, and you're literally going to stretch it apart.
We're going to pull it till it fails, and that gives us a good idea of what kind of safety factor we have in it. Then when we get through doing that, then we actually do spin it up in a pit. We have a pit that's 140 foot in diameter. It's 15 foot deep. We've got a concrete pad in the bottom that we attach our test stand to. And we use a Corvette engine to spin the rotor up. And we will spin this rotor up to 450 RPM. That's Mach 0.93, 0.94
wow.
Tip speed. It takes every bit of horsepower that supercharged, I mean, that modified Corvette engine can put out to get it to that RPM. But that's the final proof test. But, you know, when we do that, we already know that it's going to pass. But, I mean,
yeah.
You still have to go through just for sanity. You know, because if there's no problem, then there is no problem.
Oh, exactly. If you take the thing, put it in the pit, rev it up to take it up to red line, you've exceeded your design specs, which you already knew. But, you know, obviously when you do finite element testing of stuff, you're testing various components. And we all know that, you know, component A may interact with component B in ways that we can't predict.
Right.
And
so,
by testing the entire assembly, that rules right. Everything else out.
Right. That is right. That's
what
we do.
That's got to be neat to watch, though.
Well, I tell you what, it's neat. Maybe neat to watch, but I'm the one that sits in the test stand, and it's a steel cage all around. But I can tell you, when that rotor RPM gets up to 450, and it is close to the speed of sound, it is intense. I don't know what my heartbeat gets up to, but I bet you it gets up in the 140, 150, just sitting there. Just the intensity is incredible. When we get through the test, I am really sapped out. I am totally covered in sweat. I am ready to. So it is pretty intense. Of course, I'm the same one. I do the testing on the props. And when we were running the props up over the speed of sound to test them, we lost about six props before.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah. Before we finally got it to where we could run over the speed of sound without the prop coming apart. And, of course, that's just part of the really severe test that we do just so that my friends are in the aircraft or I'm in the aircraft and I have a good comfort that that things are going to be okay.
Yeah, but you will definitely want that propeller to be 100%. I have a friend of mine that he survived he threw a full blade on his Bonanza, made it safely back to the ground, but the airplane was a total loss. It tore it up that bad. You know, you don't want that to happen.
No, I tell you, when these blades came apart, and we lost, like I said, we lost six of them, it totally tears up the test stand.
Oh,
I mean, you got such an out of balance there when that happens.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we have 6,000 pounds of concrete bolted to the side of the test stand just to reduce the shock loads. Otherwise, I would be seeing some really hellacious shock loads. It's not that I'm going to go very far, but I would see some really high shock loads. So we put 6,000 pounds of concrete on either side of the cockpit just to dampen out any kind of really severe sudden departure of the rotor blade.
Yeah.
So thank goodness we had concrete on the sides.
I have there's a videotape out on YouTube of a wind turbine that is over revved, and one of its blades comes apart, and it just destroys the whole thing. So,
I've seen it.
It's pretty destructive. You're thinking, there's not that much inertia and force in it, and it cuts loose, and the whole thing just comes down. Boom, it's junk.
Right.
And if you're in an aircraft, that is the worst absolute phenomenon that you do not want to happen.
That's correct.
So essentially, you're putting this stuff together, and you are just testing it till it fails.
Yes,
you're testing it to the point where it's reliable. You're hoping it doesn't fail, but if it does, you're prepared for it.
Well, you know, we don't test with the idea that it's going to fail. I mean, we designed it to the point where we don't think it's going to fail. And but certainly, if it fails, we're glad that it failed in the test stand under controlled conditions than out when we're flying the aircraft.
You've heard of the initial stories of the Bell 47. There was a test pilot put an article together for Air and Space magazine, and he said he was doing a test hop with it. He picked it up 3 feet off the ground. The whole rotor head blew up on it. I imagine that would have been intense.
Yeah, yeah.
10 seconds later, he said he'd have been in forward flight.
Yeah.
So this is the kind of thing that you know, obviously back when the 47 was built, they didn't have all the computer horsepower that you have today.
Right.
And I'm sure that you're doing a lot of it by computer. And then you're taking your specs and everything and probably doing the old CAD CAM and five axis milling machine with all these special materials. Mm-hmm. So what's the bottom line with this thing? What are you going to do with it now that you've got it up and running? I should say up and flying.
Well, the second prototype is not flown yet. We're getting very close. If you come over to the exhibit there at the EAA Welcome Center, you can see the aircraft. The instrument panel is in. The wiring is pretty much done. The engine's all in. The landing gear, most everything's done. This third generation rotor blade, though, we haven't finished it yet. And so that's the next step, is to finish this third generation rotor blade and test it in the pit. And if that all goes well, we'll fly before the end of the year probably as an autogyro. We have long span wings in its normal gyroplane version, but to start with, we're just going to fly it as an autogyro. We check out the jump takeoff, we check out the landing gear, we check out all the controls, we check out the engine, we just check out the whole aircraft short of flying high speed.
Mm-hmm.
So then we'll come back, that all looks good, then we'll put the long wingspan on, the long wings, and we'll put a turbocharged engine in, the Lycoming 350 horsepower turbocharged engine.
That'll be
the
540. Mm-hmm. Yeah, can't get it out today.
we're also planning on putting, Lycoming has said that they're going to make this new IE2 engine available to us, which is the one that's the multiple fuel, solid state ignition, fuel injected, no fuel air control. It's all automatic.
FADEC. Full authority digital engine control.
Right,
that ought to be good. That should be very interesting.
So that makes it really nice. So, you know, the aircraft's designed, you know, we can fly at 25,000 feet that way. Of course, you'll have to be on oxygen.
Yes.
Because this one is not pressurized. The first aircraft was pressurized, but this one we decided to keep things simple, and this is not pressurized. So at 25,000 feet, you'll have to wear oxygen. But at 25,000 feet and 350 horsepower, we're expecting a cruise in the neighborhood of about 250 miles an hour.
And that's ripping right along.
For a rotorcraft, that is really ripping along. The world record in speed for rotorcraft is 249.9 miles an hour. So it's less than 250 miles an hour. So, but that's at 25,000 feet. We also plan to do some show-off, flying it up to 35,000 feet with a pressurized oxygen system. And there we can get really good range. So one of the things we do in show-off mode is to show people how far we can fly this aircraft and dramatically demonstrate the efficiency of the slowed rotor compound.
Sounds like a very interesting test program. Now, who does all the test flying for this thing?
The person who will probably start out flying this is Larry Neal. He was the pilot that actually flew our first prototype. He was the one that actually achieved the Mu-1, did a great job, knew when to push it, knew when to back off. He was feeling good about the aircraft and asked for permission to take it to Mu-1, and things were looking so good, so we said, yep, go do it.
Yeah, I remember seeing news about that on the internet. Mm-hmm. When that happened, and I thought, well, son of a gun, they made it.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Unfortunately, since that time, really have not heard a lot about Carter Copter and Carter Aviation since then. But, you know, you guys are definitely alive and well.
Yeah.
And we're carrying on.
We're definitely working forward to getting this second prototype flying. There's been a lot of detours along the way, which has really slowed us down. Because the military's gotten really interested.
Mm-hmm.
So in about a 2.5-year period, I probably gave over 70 briefings to the military.
Wow.
And we have other on our team that probably did a lot more briefings than that. And as a result of the military interest in this aircraft, we came back in and made some changes that would better meet their needs and their goals. So this aircraft actually has the capability to perform as an unmanned aerial vehicle and provide exceptional performance, like take off vertically with a 500-pound payload and stay in the air for over 24 hours and fly over 6,000 miles without refueling.
That's a very ambitious program.
So that really gets the military excited, because that provides capabilities that heretofore they could only dream about.
Yeah.
They don't have an aircraft that can take off and land vertically that has those kind of performance numbers. Now, you can get those in a fixed wing, but then it has to have a runway to get off the ground, and the runways are at a premium over there.
You know? In any kind of battle zone they are.
So anyway, it's gotten a lot of the military very interested, and it's got some aerospace companies interested. So there's been some detours along the way, which actually has slowed down our ability to get the aircraft flying. But like I said, now then we got the ability to do both. Real show-off mode. We can go into the show-off mode, you know, and do things that still people say cannot be done.
Okay. Well, here's what's going to be, I think, our last question. We're running out of time here. When you get this number two prototype up and flying, you're going to bring it out here to Oshkosh
Absolutely.
And show us?
Absolutely. First, we'll be as the autogyro, and I doubt that we'll have the full gyro plane version by this time next year and all the tests done on it.
Okay.
Might be flying it, but probably not at a point where we're ready to show off. But certainly maybe the gyro version and the jump takeoff capabilities.
I'd like to see that. That has always fascinated me, the ability to just rev the engine up, engage a lever, and go boing, boing.
Yeah. It is going to dazzle some people, I can tell you.
Well, of all the places to dazzle people, this is the place, Oshkosh, of course.
That's right. That's right.
Well, Jay, I want to thank you for stopping by the studio here today. This definitely has piqued my interest in your aircraft, and
we'll come over to the EAA Welcome Center.
There's some
really neat video there, and of course you can go visit our website. And what is your website, by the way? It's the easiest is CarterCopters.com.
There you go.
It's also Carter Aviation Technologies, but CarterCopters.com is pretty easy to remember.
Yeah, even a silly guy like me can remember that. Well, that's good. Listen, continued success to your program.
Thank you.
Tell your pilot, Larry Neal, to be careful up there.
Yep. Well, he is good, and he is careful.
I'm sure, because as they say, there are old pilots and bold pilots, but no old bold pilots. Unfortunately, it's true. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Jay Carter from Carter Aviation Technologies, the home of the Carter Copter, and I'm Fast Eddie, and you're listening to EAA Radio.